Well, let's continue on here, but before we do, comment was made from someone who had been recently, in the past few years, attending various Protestant churches, including the Seventh-day Adventist. And when they would have open Bible study, or when it came time to read some scripture, they were told, you cannot read this, you cannot read that, you cannot read the other thing, because it's not approved by the hierarchy. So they censure you going right in. See? There is no place in the Bible that's forbidden to be read. That's why God gave the Bible. Now, there may be areas in there that we don't understand, but that doesn't mean we don't read them. We read them and pray for understanding so we will know what it means. See? That's astounding because, you see, God has given the Bible in this last generation before the return of Christ. We've got the whole Bible. We are without excuse of any people on the face of the earth. And yet, Satan is there, making it sound good. Okay, hold your place here in Exodus 32, because we'll come back. And let's go to Ezekiel 22. And let's read a scripture here, because this tells us exactly what they are doing. And they know what they are doing, just exactly like Cardinal Gibbon knew when he wrote that article, A Rome's Challenge to the Protestant, there in the Baltimore Mirror. And actually, it was very interesting. 1893, but every one of these were published for the Saturday newspaper. That interesting? Okay. Now let's come down here to verse 25, Ezekiel 22. All right? Verse 25. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in her midst, like a roaring lion tearing to prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made many widows in her midst. Her priests have done violence to my law and have profaned my holy things. Think of that. We're going to see where this started in just a minute. Okay? They have put no difference between the holy and profane. They have not taught the difference between the unclean and the clean. And they have hidden their eyes from my Sabbaths, plural. And I am profaned among them. So you don't keep the Sabbaths of God, you don't know God. You don't have a clue. You may have an idea. You may have certain doctrines, but when you get into a denomination and they say, oh, well, our church doesn't agree with this doctrine, so we don't read this part of the Bible. Mm-hmm. They're cut off. We don't read it because we've hidden our eyes. See? And I'm profaned among them. Now notice the politicians go right along with it. As a matter of fact, the politicians tell the preachers what to preach. Listen here, sonny, if you don't preach what we want you to preach, you ain't getting any money from us. Is that clear? You understand that? We run this town and we control the people. Now, if you want to get along with us, you do as we say. What is he going to do? Okay. And her rulers in the midst are like wolves tearing the prey, same as the priest here. Okay. To shed blood, to destroy souls, to get unjust gain. And her prophets have covered themselves with whitewash. Interesting. Seeing false visions and divining lies unto them, saying, thus says the Lord God, when the Lord has not spoken. So if you want to know what God says, then you got to read his word. What happens then? Verse 29. The people of the land have used oppression, committed robbery. They have troubled the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. Well, God doesn't like that. And I sought for a man among them. God always searches out for a man. Is there going to be anyone stand up for God? Is there going to be anyone who's going to preach God's word? Is there going to be anyone to justify God and say God is always right under all circumstances everywhere? See? I sought for a man among them who should build up a wall for the land and stand in the breach for me so that I should not destroy it. But I did not find one. Now today they're getting ready for the election for 2012. Is anybody going to stand up for God? Is anybody going to mention God? Oh, we have principles and values, aren't we scrupulous? God says you got to love me and keep my laws. You got to teach the people, both the priests and the prophets and the rulers. And it gets down to another very important principle that we all know. You cannot solve spiritual problems with political solutions. See? No, you can't. So after all of this, let's come here to Isaiah 29. Now, we've read this before. Let's read it again. Isaiah 29, because after hearing Guillermo tell me about these other churches there, that they won't even let you read it. You know, that helps explain something. Just dawned on me just now. Because I've been invited to be on radio on different programs, I think two or three of them. And I would just preach the Word of God straight out. Tell them what it was. Well, after two invitations, not a peep. And also the truth is, if you get on conventional television and you get on conventional TV and you get on regular radio, they have a code of ethics that all of the preachers adhere to, and you cannot say certain things. See, that's why the internet is the only way to go. All right. Okay. Verse 9, Isaiah 29. Be stunned and amazed. Blind your eyes and be blind. That's what they do, don't they? Oh, don't read this. It's not in our doctrine. They are drunk, but not with wine. They're drunk on what? False doctrine. The wine of the Babylon the Great of Revelation 17. All nations have drunk of her wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. For the Lord has poured out upon them the spirit of deep sleep and has closed your eyes. He has covered the prophets and the rulers and the seers. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it amazing? Just happen to think. You go on Fox News, you watch Fox News, think, oh, well, we're going to get more truth on Fox News. Really? You ever watch them at Christmas time? Oh, we want the truth. No, people only want their version of the truth, what they agree with. So here's what happens, verse 11. And the vision of all of them has become like the words of a book that is sealed, which they give to one who is learned, saying, please read this. And he says, I cannot. For it is sealed. I don't understand this. And a book is delivered to one who is not learned. And a book is delivered to one who is not learned, saying, please read this. And he says, I'm not learned. How do you expect me to know this? All you experts are supposed to know, and you don't know. Okay? And the Lord said, because this people draws near me, or to me, with their mouth. Oh, we believe in God. 92% of the people. And with their lips they honor me. But their worship of me is made up of the traditions of men learned by rote, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandments of men. See, rather than the word of God. Oh, in our church, we can't read this because we don't teach this doctrine. So we don't want any waves. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do again a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of their wise ones shall perish. Now what's happening? Happens in every generation, every cycle you go through this. See? And the wisdom of their intelligence ones shall vanish. So what kind of society do we live in today? Woe to those who go deep to hide their purpose from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, who sees us and who knows us? Surely you have turned things upside down. That's exactly what they've done. Wonder what kind of riot you would start if you went into a big Sunday-keeping church and stood up there and said, well, I'm here, and I'm going to read out of the Bible to you today. Let's all go to Exodus 31. Notice, verse 16, people think they're going to church to get the truth. They don't get the truth. You see, it's like this. You can take the Bible, cut out certain parts you don't like, leave those out, and then you can misquote the scriptures, misinterpret the scriptures, misapply the scriptures, and you've created a lie while you're reading the truth. See? Amazing, isn't it?
I'm not being not godly inspired.
Let's read that again. Surely you have turned things upside down. Is everything in the world upside down and backwards and wrong? Yes, indeed. Shall the potter be regarded as the potter's clay? And is what do they say? We've evolved from slime and mud. Okay. Shall the work say of him who made it, he did not make me? Okay. All you atheists, listen. Boy, I tell you what, when the signs in the heavens appear, those atheists are going to be really, really in trouble. It's like the atheist in the foxhole. Doesn't believe in God until half his buddies are killed, and he says, oh God, spare me. Or shall the thing formed say to him who formed it, he had no understanding? Okay. Now, let's come back here to Exodus 32. We're going to see the same attitude. Now, how long were the people of Israel genuine in what they said? All that the Lord has said, we will do. Did they hear all the words? Yes. Did they hear the Ten Commandments? Yes. First commandment was, I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. You shall have no other gods before me. Did they all hear that? Yes. Did they all hear the next one? You shall not make to yourself any graven image of anything, any likeness of anything that's in heaven above, that's on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. And you shall not bow yourself down to worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting upon the children under the third and fourth generation of those that hate me. See, so if you break the first two commandments, you hate God. See? But showing mercy to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. And that sounds just like 1 John, right? Love God, keep his commandments? Yes. All right. Now, with that in mind, let's see what happened here in verse 32. Now, we don't know exactly what time frame within the 40-day period this occurred. But let's read it. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, now remember what happened. Nadab, Abihu, and Aaron, and the 70 of the elders of Israel went back down below with the people. Exodus 32. 1, verse 1. Okay. Then the people gathered themselves together. Oh, let's have a committee to Aaron. Now, who was Aaron? The brother of Moses, the one to be the high priest. And they said to him, up! Make us gods, which shall go before us, for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. Well, you know, the mountain's on fire up there. Maybe he fell into a volcanic hole, and he's burned up, and he doesn't exist anymore. What are we going to do, Aaron? Now notice what Aaron says. And Aaron said to them, break off your golden earrings, which are in the ears of your wives and your sons and your daughters, and bring them to me. And all the people broke off their golden earrings, which were in their ears, and brought them to Aaron. Confiscation of gold, you know, that's been known to happen by evil men. And he took them from their hands and fashioned it with a graving tool. Now, what does this tell us? Makes you wonder, was Aaron an idol maker in Egypt? How did he know how to do this? See? And made a molten calf, the golden calf. Now, in between the two horns of the golden calf, what do you always have? A sun disk. Sun worship. And the day of the sun god is Sunday and always been, just like the seventh day of the Sabbath of God it has always been. Okay? And they said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw the calf, he built an altar before it and made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. Now think on that for a minute. How many of these ministers and preachers and prophets and popes and cardinals and bishops and priests, how many have taken pagan things and said, we will make this to the Lord? They still do it today. I was watching a documentary of this priest who had to go because he, I don't know if he was a pedophile or not, but they exiled him clear back into the Amazonian jungles of Peru, right up against the Andes Mountains. And here were these primitive Indians, ex-cannibals, ex-head shrinkers. And he set up his little Catholic thing, and what he did, he took their days of worship, their dances, everything, and changed a few names, and this was now in worship to Mary and Jesus. And they had certain feast days unto the Lord. That's what every Sunday-keeping preacher does. See? Someone's surely going to say, Fred Calder, you're sure hard on those Sunday-keeping preachers. I am. But those Sunday-keeping preachers are sure hard on the Word of God and don't let people read it and close their eyes to the Sabbaths and cast it behind them. So if they're hard on the Word of God, I'm going to be hard on them. Now hopefully some will repent. All right? Notice what happened. And they rose up early the next morning, offered burnt offerings, and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Just like a rock concert. Yes. Oh, we've been out in this wilderness for so long. Boy, oh boy. Oh, we need some relief.
What's really bad is those that knew.
Thank you.
Okay.
It astonishes me about Aaron doing that after he went through.
It's the Bible is what's saying it, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, the comment was, well, we got all that recorded, so that's fine. Okay. Comment was made that I'm not hard on the Sunday keepers. I read the Word of God, and God's hard on them. See? And how dare they? The audacity. Mind you of someone? That they have called, they are so deceitful that they take and call Sunday the Lord's Day. When God says, the Sabbath is mine. That's his day. Jesus says he's Lord of the Sabbath. And he created it. Now, let's analyze what he did. Number one, he listened to the people instead of following God and saying, look, we know God is up there. We saw him. And all the 70 of the elders saw him, in addition to my two sons. So you can ask them, did you see God? Well, God is God, and we know Moses is in good hands, so everybody cool it. See? Don't get all excited. God is not going to leave you alone. Nothing has happened to Moses. He's fine. We just don't know how long he's going to be up there. But he will come down. He didn't do that. And then he had them bring the gold. And then he built the molten calf and said, these are your gods who brought you up out of the land of Egypt, which is an absolute lie. And then he built an altar. And then he proclaimed a feast. So look at all the things that he did. And here was the one who was to be the high priest for the children of Israel. And he only was allowed to live because of Moses' intervention. That's all. That's all. But what this does, this tells us that from the very day that the priesthood was formed, it was doomed because of things like this. So let's read on here. Verse 7, and the Lord said to Moses, go, get you down for your people. Now, from here on, we have a sort of a play on words between God and Moses. Whenever the children of Israel did bad, they were Moses' people. Whenever they did good, they were God's people. Okay. For your people whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a golden calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed to it and said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Now that's something to consider there. Amazing. Comment was made some more about Aaron, which is this. He was Moses' spokesman at first, wasn't he? And he saw all the plagues and all the miracles that God did. What does it take to convert a person? Amazing. And the Lord said to Moses, I've seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone so that my wrath may burn hot against them, that I may consume them, and I will make of you a great nation. And Moses prayed to the Lord his God and said, Lord, why does your wrath wax hot against your people? Whom you have brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand. Why should the Egyptians speak and say, he brought them out with an evil intent to kill them in the mountains and consume them from the face of the earth? Turn now from your fierce wrath and repent of this evil against your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of, I will give to your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. Now that's a pretty powerful prayer. Okay. Can you reason with God? Yes, properly. And the Lord repented of the evil he spoke of doing to his people. And then you know the rest of the story. Moses turned and went down from the mountain. The two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tablets were written on both sides, on one side and on the other. The tablets were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God, engraved upon the stones. What did he do? As soon as he saw it, he smashed them. Then you know what happened. All those who started this thing, God opened up the earth, took care of them. See? And people have never learned the lesson that you can go from security and prosperity to oblivion in seconds. And I think we've seen enough of those things happen around here to know exactly how quickly that it can happen. Look what has happened just this past year. Okay? So that's something. Then you go through all the history of the children of Israel. Now let's come to the book of Judges. Book of Judges. The only time they were reasonably faithful was when Joshua was in charge. And when the elders of Israel were still being faithful, the people did what was right. It's kind of like this. If you have a society all set up where they automatically keep the Sabbath, okay, everybody gets used to it. And that's the power to be. That's what it was during the days of Joshua. Okay? Then the successors of Joshua carried on. But let's read what happened. Okay? All right? Judges, the third chapter. Okay? Where is that? Oh, Judges 2. All right, after he was buried. Verse 10. Judges 2 and verse 10. Okay, let's read it here. And also all that generation were gathered to their fathers. And there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord, nor even the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam, the sun god again. Okay? That various forms of the sun god, Balaam. And they forsook the God of their fathers who brought them out of the land of Egypt. And they followed other gods, even the gods of the people who were around them, and bowed themselves down to them and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. After all that God had done, mind you, a lot of people, even in the Church of God, when things got tough, false doctrines came in, false prophets came in and said, oh, look, we need to keep Sunday like everybody else. They said, oh, yes, let's do that. I'll give you an example. When the leader of the church died, gradually everything went downhill. Then when there was a change in pastor general and personnel, one Sabbath, a sermon was given saying that it's all right to eat unclean food. Okay? Now, there were 1,200 people that met in this big auditorium. And as soon as the services were over, they all got together in little groups, and they charged out to, I think in the Pasadena area, there are a couple of Red Lobsters restaurants. and they all went there and gorged themselves on unclean fish food. Just because someone from the pulpit says it's okay to eat. Now listen, the pulpit is not God. The Word of God is what God says it should be. Okay? And they did this over and over and over and over again and again and again and again. See? Now, let's come to the book of Ezekiel again. Let's come to Ezekiel 20. Here, the first part of Ezekiel talks about how the children of Israel went against God. All right, verse 8. But they rebelled against me and would not hearken to me, and they did not each man throw away the abominations of their eyes, nor did they forsake the idols of Egypt. And I said, I will pour out my fury against them to fulfill my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. He was going to kill them in the midst of the land of Egypt. Maybe that tells us that, yes, Aaron was an idol maker. Okay? But he didn't do it. He gave them the statutes, the ordinances, Sabbaths, and everything, and said, keep them. But they didn't keep them. So here to verse 18. But I said to their children in the wilderness, do not walk in the statutes of your fathers, or observe their judgments, nor defile yourselves with their idols. I am the Lord your God, walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them and keep my Sabbaths holy. And they shall be a sign between me and you that you may know that I am the Lord your God. Again, talking to the people, telling them what they should do. But the children rebelled against me. They did not walk in my statutes nor kept my ordinances to do them, the ordinances which if a man do, he shall even live in them, and they polluted my Sabbaths. And I said, I will pour out my fury on them to fulfill my anger against them in the wilderness. Nevertheless, he didn't do it, because God is merciful. Okay? Come down here to verse 24. Because they had not done my ordinances, but had despised my statutes and had polluted my Sabbaths, and their eyes were after their father's idols. Now here's what God does. See, now the King James does not translate this correctly. Here is the correct translation of verse 25. Therefore, I also gave them over to their own statutes, which were not good, and their own ordinances, which they could not live. And I defiled them in their own gifts, in that they caused all that opened the womb to pass through the fire, that I might make them desolate to the end, that they might know that I am the Lord. So there you go. That's how the children of Israel did, see? Absolutely an amazing thing. And it's happened in the churches of God. It's amazing how quickly people apostatize. And look at the age we're living in today. We have so many things, all convenient. You have your computers, you have your smartphones, you have, you know, I use dumb phone. It's a landline. Jonathan gave me a cell phone, but I have not had occasion to use it yet. I appreciate you giving it to me. But I still have my chisel for my granite. No. Because I'm Fred Flintstone. Okay. Got to have a little fun with it, you know. But just think, brethren. You know, we need to ask the question. What does it really, really, really take? Okay. What kind of conviction do we really have And how long will we be faithful in that conviction? See? Now come back here to John 14, and we'll finish here. John 14. Now let's pick it up here in verse 6. Okay, now we know this is on the Passover night. We know this is part of the Passover ceremony. And Thomas wanted to know where he was going because he said he couldn't go at that time. Verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. So we need to ask ourselves the question, do we really, really believe it? See? With every fiber of our being. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one is going to do anything to get to God except God's way. All right? So he continues, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also, but from this time forward you know him and have seen him. And Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be sufficient for us. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long a time, and you have not known me, Philip? He was with him 3.5 years, teaching him, training him. The one who has seen me has seen the Father. This is, why then do you say, show us the Father? So then he asked them these questions. Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? Look at all the miracles that they saw. Just like the children of Israel when they were in Egypt and all the miracles they saw to have them released, you see. The words that I speak to you, I do not speak from my own self. Boy, all of those censors of the Bible in those churches better read that, see? Because they're reading the Bible of what they want to read rather than what God wants you to read. But the Father himself who dwells in me does the works. And we have to have God dwelling in us to do the works. See? Everything that we have. Now this last week, we had a funeral for Evelyn Gardner. And she lived to be 97 or 98 because of a dispute over her birth certificate. But she was faithful right on to the end. Okay, but it's amazing. From the instant we are born till our last breath, God gives us breath, air, food, clothing, shelter. We have to work. We have to do things. God made it that way. Okay, so everything that we have, literally, every breath of air we breathe comes from God. And look at how he made the world so that that could happen. So that we could have oxygen. See? And he's given all of this technology now so we can preach the gospel. But what's happening to the churches of God? They're all out there fighting among themselves like a bunch of carnal chickens. Pecking and fighting and beating and accusing. You think God likes that? Judgment's coming. You can be sure it's coming. So he said, verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. If not, believe me because of the works themselves. He demonstrated by miracles. Truly, truly, I say to you, the one who believes in me shall also do the works that I do, and greater works than these shall he do, because I'm going to the Father. And whatever you shall ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, we've got to claim those promises, brethren. We've got to understand. This is what Jesus has given. See? Now, God is good to his word. Are we faithful to the word of God? See? Then he says here, and this is what should have happened to the children of Israel. This is what should happen to the churches of God. This is what should happen in every one of our lives. If you love me, keep the commandments, namely my commandments, which includes everything in the Bible. Okay? And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that it may be with you throughout the age, even the Spirit of the truth. And then that is what convicts us of sin within, so we can repent. God is true. Christ is true. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And the Spirit of truth is to lead us. Why can't we yield to God so it can lead us all in the same direction, which the world cannot receive because it perceives it not nor knows it, but you know it because it dwells with you and shall be within you. Christ and God the Father are in us. Don't you count that as a precious gift? Don't you count that as something that we need to use and activate and be faithful to God and pray and study every day and love each other, all those things? See? Now let's come down here. Verse 23. So let's ask ourselves this question here. Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will make our abode, we will come to him and make our abode with him. The one who does not love me does not keep my words, for the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." Now we need to understand and ask the question. Do we treat the Word of God like the Israelites did? As ministers and preachers and teachers, do we hide our eyes from certain things? Do we let God be profaned by our activities? What is it? Well, there it is right there. That's what we need to do. So it's quite amazing. Quite an amazing story that's in the Bible, isn't it? And it's all true. So, that was not the sermon I had prepared, but that's the one that you got. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.